Let's open our Bible this evening to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This evening we're going to begin a study of this 119th Psalm, the longest Psalm in the book of Psalms and the most lengthy as far as verses are concerned in the entire Bible. Psalm 119. As most of you are aware, this Psalm, it praises the worth and the value of God's Word, the revealed will of God. And not only does it tell us that it's praiseworthy, but it tells us why. There are many blessings and there are many benefits that are found when we heed the Word of God. And so this entire psalm is dedicated to telling us how important and how valuable God's revealed will is for our lives. Obviously, when this psalm was written, the Word, the revealed will of God, was primarily the law of Moses. That's true, and we need to understand that. And whatever prophetic writings had been given at that time. But what we will find out is, even though it's describing the law of Moses and just the revealed will of God in general, what's described here can also be applied to every revelation of the will of God to man, including God's revelation for this church age. And so the same praise and the same worthiness and the benefits and the blessings of heeding the revealed will of God, that applies to us as well. It is important for us to know, when you're studying the Bible, to know to whom those words were directed, so we don't take things out of context. But then we'll see that a lot of the same values and benefits and blessings that we see described for the law of Moses and the prophets, we see that repeated in the New Testament as well. And so we can take from this psalm, as we read it, we apply these blessings and these benefits to God's will to us as revealed to the Apostle Paul. And we'll see that is also something that we can reap from this psalm. In this church age, we have blessings when we heed God's instruction as it was given to the Apostle Paul. For every aspect of our life, for every relationship of our life. And in these first several lessons that we'll have in this psalm, we're not going to study verse by verse or section by section, as we will a little bit later in the study. But to begin, I want us just to consider 10 names that are found in this psalm that are given to the Word of God, the revealed will of God. And those 10, I'll just give them to you, and then we'll consider maybe one, maybe two this evening. But in this psalm, you're going to read different titles that are referring to the same thing, and that is God's Word or the revealed will of God to His people. And again, that applies to the revealed will of God to His people in any age. And so the first one is going to be law. That one's pretty familiar, especially when you're talking about the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments, but we'll find out that has more meaning than just that. It's also referred to as statutes. You can kind of scan through that 119th Psalm and you'll see these words repeated several times. The third word that we'll consider is precepts. The Word of God is described as precepts. And then the fourth one is commandments. Commandments. The fifth one is testimonies. All of these referring to the same thing, the revealed will of God to His people. The sixth one is judgments. The seventh is truth. Number eight is the one that we most commonly use, and that is simply word. The revealed will of God is His word. Then it's also referred to as way, W-A-Y, the way of God. And then lastly is righteousness. Talking about the revealed will of God, it's referred to as righteousness. It could be argued that there are several other names that could be found in here, but we'll consider these main 10 that are found throughout this psalm. So the first one we'll consider is law. Psalm 119 and verse 1, you find that description right off the bat. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now this term is used quite often in this psalm. And almost immediately we apply it to the law of Moses, and it certainly does apply to that. That's a proper term for those Ten Commandments and the first five books of the Bible that were given to Moses. It is appropriate to call that the law, because that's what the Holy Spirit calls it as well throughout the Scriptures. But the title is not restricted to that meaning and to that just to that aspect of God's revealed will. In the Hebrew, the word is Torah. Probably some of you have heard that if you've had any contact with Jewish culture, the Torah. And it simply means, that word simply means instruction. So that kind of changes a little bit. When we first think of law, we think of the judicial aspect of that, and that's certainly a real and an important aspect. But it simply means to instruct, instruction. It has the thought to direct, to guide, to teach, and to point forward. That's what the Hebrew word means. And so when you consider the meaning of that in a little more depth, then it takes you beyond the Ten Commandments, for example, and causes us to understand that everything that God has revealed to us to be His will is for our instruction, to guide us and to direct us and to keep us moving forward to have His eternal best. The entire Bible can be described as the law of God. Now, the law of Moses, first five books of the Bible, Ten Commandments, that's the law of Moses. In other words, God's revealed will to the people of Israel for a time, a people, and a place. The law was never given to us as Gentiles. So we don't focus on the law as a way of instruction for how we as Christians are to live in this church age. However, God has given us instructions. God has given us guidance in what He has revealed to be His will for us in this church age. And so all of the Bible can be described as the law. So when we read this term over and over in Psalm 119, the law this, the law that, and the benefit of heeding the law, we can accept that as for us as well, because God has given us instruction. He has given us guidance. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. Very familiar passage of Scripture. This is one I read often. But you'll see how Paul describes the revelation that was given to him for this church age. He describes it in much the same way as we would say that the Torah describes God's will and revelation for Israel. Here we also have Torah. We have instruction. All Scripture, all of it, not just the Ten Commandments, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which means teaching, for reproof, that means it has the right to admonish you that that's not right, for correction, that means it has the authority to tell you how to do it right, for instruction in righteousness. It will guide us to do what is right. It will instruct us on how to do what is right. And why is that word given to us? Why does God give us these instructions that we have in Scripture? Why is it important for us to know the Bible and what it tells us? How we should think, how should we talk, and our relationships, and why should we pay attention to that? Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, that we might have everything we need to be what God intended for us to be, our Creator. We can think of the Scriptures in every instruction that we have in the New Testament for us as signposts that keep pointing us forward. Remember, this is part of the definition of Torah, of the law. And if we want to arrive to where God tells us we were destined to arrive, in other words, that his purpose for us, and that is to sit in the throne with Jesus Christ, if we want to arrive at that destination, we need to follow his instruction. First for salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way to start on the path. But then once we're on the path, once we are eternally his, he has direction for us. He has guidance. And it's for our good and for our safety and for our success in this spiritual walk. We're living in a time and a society when man refuses to hear or to heed the instruction of God's word, God's law for us, what he has laid out for us to be the direction he wants us to go as his creation. We often hear nobody has the right to tell me what to do or how to live. And that's kind of the independent attitude that everybody wants to have these days. No one has a right to judge how I live my life or to tell me what is right and what is wrong. Nobody has a right to tell me that. That's the attitude that many have today. Not only the world, but sadly there are some Christians that also have that attitude. They consider the Bible's moral standard for faith and conduct, it's dated and it's judgmental and it's harsh. And so and some even have the thought when they talk about the Bible and the instructions that we have in the Bible, they think, well, those are foolish and they are detrimental to the progress of society. Some people will come right out and say it, but that's the attitude of most people. We don't want to hear what the Bible says because we want to do what we want to do. And again, we can't expect anything different from the world, but we, as God's people, we cannot fall into that mentality. God's word has a right to reprove me, to correct me, to give me instruction. It is the law for me. It should be as a child of God. We need to accept God's word as the final authority in our life. That's the law of God. And this is what's going to be described over and over in this 119th Psalm. When you think of these signs that point us, that give us direction, you can think of the literal signs on the literal highway, where the state of Colorado has many different signs. They have speed limit signs. They have warning signs, merge signs, steep incline, steep curve coming around. They have all kinds of signs that are for what? I mean, it's the law, but why are those signs given? For our protection, so that we can travel safely and arrive where we need to arrive. That's the purpose of those signs. But what if somebody says, I don't like those signs. They are not letting me enjoy my trip. I want to do what I want, how I want. And so they go as fast as they want and they ignore the tight curve sign. And sooner or later, someone's going to get hurt. They'll either hurt themselves or someone else. And what if everybody on the highway was doing the same thing, ignoring all the signs and all the traffic signs? And we lived in Paraguay for a while, and we kind of know what that's like. Everybody does what they want when they want, and there are stoplights and there's stop signs, but nobody pays attention to them, and it's chaos. Something's going to happen. How much more true is that when we ignore the law of God, the directions that we have in the Word of God? Someone's going to get hurt. It leads to chaos in our individual life and in the lives of those around us. So when we think of God's word, and even when it's described as the law, it shouldn't be something offensive to us. It should be something that we understand is going to get us safely where we want to go, get us safely through life, and get us to where God wants us to be. Proverbs 29, verse 18. This verse here kind of describes what I was describing with my illustration, with everybody ignoring all of the signs that are posted for our safety. When you ignore the Word of God, when you ignore God's revealed will for your life, His instruction, this is what happens. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, where there's no understanding of what God has revealed to be His will for you, the people cast off restraint. That literally means that they are without brakes. To go in the mountains and drive on those mountain roads without brakes, it's a dangerous thing, isn't it? To live your life and ignore the Word of God, it's a dangerous thing. It's going to lead to sorrow. But happy is he who keeps the law. Once again, you read that right off of it. Oh, keeps the Ten Commandments, huh? No, it means to follow his instructions. Happy is he who follows God's instruction for his life. God's law to man in this church age is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You say, well, that's grace. Yep. His grace instructs us. Paul tells us that, doesn't it? God's grace teaches us. The same grace that saved us instructs us how to live godly. So the first sign that God uses to direct mankind is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. What a wonderful, gracious sign that is. And yet how many ignore that sign? I don't need that. I don't need Jesus. I can live my life. No, sooner or later it's going to be a wreck. But then it goes on. As a child of God, that's the first step. That's how you get on the highway. But now follow for every area of your life, for your marriage, for your job, for school, for every aspect of your life. Heed his instructions. And when we do, it leads to blessing now and forever. Let's go 1 Timothy 4. Verses 6 to 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 to 8. If you instruct, if you give the law, if you instruct the brethren in these things, Paul talking to younger Timothy, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, that is, for a little while we have these bodies. But godliness, that is, heeding God's instruction for your life, living a life that is God-like because he's instructed you so, godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so heeding God's instruction for your life, the benefits begin right now in this life. A life of faith and obedience to the Word of God is the only life worth living in this life. It's the only one that can give you peace when you're in the midst of a storm, when your trials and the hardships of life are real. Obeying God's instruction is the only thing that's going to give you that peace that passes understanding. I'm all right. I know I'm all right. Because I'm following the signs. Yes, sometimes there's a downpour that's hard to see in life. Sometimes it's foggy. But if I'll just pay attention to the signs and keep going forward, I know I'm going to be all right. Only obedience to God's word can give you that confidence, that peace, and give you joy, which again is that calm delight. It's going to be all right. I don't know how right now. I can't. Visibility is kind of low right now, but I see the sign that says you're on the right track. Keep going. Only God's law can do that. Only God's instruction can do that. Obedience to those things. I think we'll stop there tonight before we start another one.